Hey friend, are you looking for episodes that dive deep into your Enneagram type? Or are you searching for faith-based insights that transform your life? With over 300 episodes on the Simply Wholehearted podcast, it's easy to get overwhelmed. But don't worry, friend, I've got you covered. Introducing the curated, personalized podcast playlist that is just for you based on your Enneagram type. So get your copy to help you continue your path of self-discovery and spiritual growth. You can get it at simplywholehearted.com or just click the link in the show notes to get your personalized playlist. And let's continue on this transformative journey together. Worship. Now, what does that word mean to you? Choirs of angels? Church? A really great band? Well, what if I told you the rhythm of worship is so much simpler and yet so much more? Here are four words to sum up the meaning of worship. In everything, give thanks. Yep, you heard me right. In everything, give thanks. I'll explain myself a little bit more in a minute, but here's the deal. We need an anchor in times like these, and being a woman who worships is critical. No matter what comes your way in 2021, worship or giving thanks is the reset you need, whether you're facing fear, discontentment, or frustration. Worship changes the atmosphere, and it begins with you. A heart of worship, not what you can get, but what you can give in your heartfelt expression of thanks. Now listen, I know what it's like to let another year slip by and realize you're still not where you want to be in life. But not this year, my friend. This is the year things are going to change for you. And that's why this month I am focusing on the three pillars of wholehearted worship the three pillars of wholehearted rhythms. And today I'm going to share four keys that are going to create a strong rhythm of worship for you, no matter your personality type. Hi, my name is Amy Wicks, and I love to talk about the gospel message your heart was created to hear. I'm a Christian Enneagram coach for moms who loves to share resources which help you be confident that you are the best mom for your kids. I'm a mountain mama who somehow ended up on a cul-de-sac in the Midwest. I was overwhelmed by motherhood, and I struggled to understand my true motivations. But the Lord didn't let me stay there. He helped me turn those challenging moments of motherhood into a wholehearted decision to get intentional with my faith, my marriage, and my kids. I share a brokenhearted perspective with story, but with wholehearted purpose and plans so you can live a life full of courage and abundance. Think of this podcast as your on-the-go mom pal and friend who can't help but talk about Jesus and the Enneagram. So get to that pile of laundry, or hit the treadmill, or load up the kids in the car for that grocery run. Get ready to be encouraged and challenged while you listen. This is the Simply Wholehearted Podcast. All right, I promised you four keys, so let's dive right into key number one for creating a rhythm of worship starting today. Key one is in everything, give thanks. It's what I alluded to in the intro, and if this is the only part you hear, well, I think it's going to get you where you want to go. Here's the deal, though. The phrase, in everything, give thanks. Well, it's something I find myself asking the Lord, really? In everything? I mean, it's often a conversation or maybe frustration I have with the Lord, because when I read 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it does tell us in everything give thanks. But I don't know about you, but it's easy to have a grateful heart for food, for shelter, for safety and good health. But what about the hard stuff? You know, the things that cut you to the quick or take your breath away as you even think about them or the possibility of them. I find myself wondering, do the hard things fit within the context of everything that 1 Thessalonians is talking about? But I do think the word everything is pivotal. It's the hook, the key. Giving thanks is critical, and we know this even from all the self-help gurus, but in everything, well, that makes it a spiritual truth. Everything is in loss of all kinds, through illness, as you wrestle with depression, when you experience waves of grief, and even when you stare down another failure. Now, if you're like me, you're probably wondering, how can you possibly give thanks in these upside down, terrible, no good moments that sometimes last for days, right? Anybody else? Well, here's the deal. It's not a pull yourself up by the bootstraps and try to find something good to think about kind of mantra. The 1 Thessalonians 5:18 verse is addressing the practice of faith. It's different than the world's ideas of gratitude. It's trusting, it's hoping, it's believing who God is, even when all you see around you doesn't look like Him at all. This biblical passage identifies that as wholehearted believers, through the help of the Holy Spirit, we are commanded to focus on walking in joy, constant prayer, and giving thanks no matter what happens in our lives. And these things are the actual expressions of Christ living inside of us. Maybe 2020 was a whole mess of horrible for you. And perhaps even the last week you felt really unsettled and the difficult things felt unremitting or even unbearable. And maybe you had moments of prayer that just were like, please, God, just stop this. If this is you, here's the thing. You probably have focused on seeking the answer. I know I do. I focus on getting to the mountaintop or the change of circumstances. Does that feel familiar? But I want to challenge you to join me in following the exhortation of First Thessalonians 5:18, which says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus." I am so confident that God did not cause your pain, but in His sovereignty, He has permitted it, and faith compels me to believe that there is somehow good in the midst of all the terrible. I am a woman who prays, and I pray that I would earnestly follow His will. And as my wholehearted friend, I bet you do as well. So, would you join me in giving thanks in all things as well? I know it won't always be easy, and it'll take effort. But I believe that you, like me, desire to follow God's plan as you live in Christ. Now remember, a new rhythm takes practice. You won't get this giving thanks in all circumstances thing the first time or the second or even the third. But I do believe it's the regular application which eventually leads to giving thanks, and it suddenly becomes as easy as breathing. Now, you all have met my dear friend Sarah Hagerty before. She's been on this podcast several times, and you can listen to a few episodes. The one that was the most recent is episode 137. It was almost exactly a year ago. I think Sarah would describe what I'm talking about today, this 1 Thessalonians 5:18 principle. I think she would describe it as adoration. And adoration, as Sarah would describe it, is praying, speaking, or reading through passages found in the Psalms and throughout the Word of God about God's character. And it's praying them, speaking them, maybe even seeing them when you don't feel it, when you don't see it or believe it, but you're holding out hope and belief for what the Scriptures proclaim. This adoration and this specific way and this key of worship is giving thanks in faith for who God is and who He promises to be to you. Now, the other day, my oldest daughter came in late at night because, well, she's a teenager and she's always been my night owl. And this time it was to thank me, like an extra thank you. She had already said thank you, but she came in to thank me again because I had let her sign up for a very challenging step in her schooling career. She chose to register for a biology 101 college course. Here's the deal. She's only 14 and She is only in the second half of eighth grade, so I really vacillated on allowing her to make this kind of decision. It was a big step, and it's would be a huge and tough accomplishment to fulfill the requirement at her age. Now, I know it's going to require a lot of her time. It's going to require a lot of energy and endurance, and it's going to require grace for herself. It's going to be a hard thing. It's not tragic by any stretch of the imagination, but it will be incredibly challenging. Now, I know that some of you moms can never imagine your child thanking you for signing them up for something challenging and stretching, but bear with me. I've got a point in telling you this little story. Because really, what my daughter was thanking me for, it wasn't the hardships of the challenge. She was thanking me for the fruit that she knows is going to come from being able to be allowed to go and accept this challenge, to go through this challenge and accept it, and accept the hardship of it. She is also thanking me for being with her in it, part of the decision making. She knows that I'm not going to let her flounder in this new class. And she knows that because I allowed her to take on this challenge, it means that I am signing up to help her navigate something that is intended for those 5 years her senior. But here's the deal. I'm not going to let her down. She won't have to do it alone. And she knows, because I've said it several times, if she fails this class, I'm not going to be disappointed. In fact, I'm going to celebrate that she was willing to take on the challenge and that she put in the effort. Man, as I share this, I'm realizing what a powerful illustration this is for my heart. But ultimately, what I want you to take from this is we get a chance to be like my oldest daughter. It paints a picture that we can go to our perfect Heavenly Father who knows that we are navigating incredibly tough challenges, whether by choice or default. But we can go to Him with worship and thanksgiving because He won't let us down, even when others do. He will stick by our side, and we don't have to go at it alone. And even if we fail in the trial of hardship, He is going to celebrate that we put in the effort to partner with Him. Okay, I think I've given a lot to chew on here for key number one. So I'll just touch briefly on three more. Key number two, mix up your worship style. You know I was going to talk about Enneagram, right? Well, have you thought about how your personality type views worship? Maybe as it relates to corporate worship in a church setting? Perhaps you are a more reserved, withdrawing type and you prefer a more private practice of worship. Or do you tend to be hyper aware of the people around you and how others are worshiping in the space that you are in? Maybe you're the full-on, all-in worship type that engages expressively, no matter what's going on around you. I am hoping that you're tracking with me as these different expressions often correlate to your personality type. Which one is you? I do hope that you also know by now that I'll be the first to say, worship your way. But have you considered how trying a different way could grow the depth of your worship? Maybe something that's opposite of how you would typically do it? And the big thing to think about, Mama, is that your kids are watching. And while you are good with how you worship, are you giving your kids an opportunity to see a different style of worship? Maybe one that is more fitting to their personality type? Most of us probably grew up with a very specific view of worship. Maybe because of your church setting, but more often, maybe it was from watching your parents worship. Now give that a thought and let that truth sink in a little. As a mom, you are the first example in all things to your kids, and you leave the biggest impression. So, what can you show your children about worship? If you are a withdrawing type in the Enneagram or lead as a type 4, 5, or 9, it might be a stretch for you to be more expressive and demonstrative in your worship. So the challenge for you is to maybe try worshiping a different way behind closed doors. Just do it between you and the Lord. No one else needs to watch. And after you get more comfortable with trying new things, invite your kids to share in those sacred moments. Maybe it looks like dancing or praising loudly in the kitchen along with Alexa, right? No solos here. No need to do that. But maybe just show them something, a different expression of worship. Now, if you happen to be a personality type who is more aware of how others are worshiping around you and you don't really want to stand out and you feel like you just need to go along with how the crowd is worshiping, you may lead as a type 1, 2, or 6 and be a dutiful type. If so, I'm going to challenge you to focus on just the one that you are worshiping. That's right. Close your eyes during worship and worship how you are personally led and not worship just because that's what everyone else is doing or how everyone else is doing. Your kids will be watching, and that is a great thing. Maybe you're someone who tends to be very expressive and you really get energized in sitting with lots of people, worshiping together, and the energy in the room. It's possible that you lead as a type 3, 7, or 8 and be in the assertive stance of the Enneagram. It might be challenging for you to practice a more low-key, simple type of worship, like contemplative prayer. But you can teach your kids a lot about the power of worshiping no matter the environment or style of music by taking the practice in your home in a simple way and maybe in a real quiet, thoughtful way. Now remember, Mama, you are naturally created to enjoy and express worship in a specific way. There is nothing wrong with this. But as a mom, you also get the opportunity to try something out of the box for you and invite your kids to witness something different. Key number 3, just turn it on. Now, music is something that we traditionally associate worship to, right? A hymn, a band, something that is streaming on some sort of device. But is worship something you tend to think of just when you're at church, or maybe you do play some worship music, but only when you have a certain friends over? I know that also as a mom, you often forgo your listening pleasures to listen to whatever the kids want or maybe even need. But remember this, you are the mom and you get to do what you need to do to change the atmosphere in your home or in your car or in your brain. And in order to change the atmosphere, it often requires a little help from somebody or something else. And with tech the way it is, well, it's a really super simple step. In fact, I hear a friend who tells me often that she plays worship in her daughter's room 24/7, and she's done this for years. She believes, and just as I do, that worship changes the atmosphere because she has experienced it firsthand. Now, I know you probably know this, but every one of us can use a reminder every now and again. I mean, just the other week, I was really struggling with some hard news. I was in a foggy funk, and after hours went by, it took me a while, but I finally remembered to get some worship in my ears. The thing is, friends, the shift that happened, it was almost immediate, and it was remarkable. I really still am now laughing at myself, and I was shaking at my head at the time in wonder because why didn't I do this sooner? You guys, Satan is not very creative. He has two techniques. He uses distraction and discouragement. And this is why worship is so important. Because the moment you turn on lyrics that proclaim the goodness of your Savior, you suddenly get focused on praise and your spirits are encouraged. No longer discouraged, no longer distracted. So, I just want to gently remind you to go ahead and turn on some Maverick City music, Elevate or Bethel Worship or whatever you would like. And in fact, my friend Katie Reed, who has been on the podcast before, just released a new worship album. Go look it up and listen to it, of course, right after you finish this episode. Because I'm about to share the fourth and final key. The fourth and final key is to tell others. Now, I know we're all aware of the Great Commission, and yes, go tell others about God's saving grace. But today, I want you to go tell others as it relates to worship. And that means tell people your story, not your whole life story, but maybe just a simple moment of your story, that testimony of what God has done for you, whether it was last week, last month, or maybe even last night. I am so human, and I know you are too. So our memories are short, they're temporal. And like me, you've probably written down prayers or given prayer requests, but you never got around to writing down the answer or even telling your friends how God answered that prayer. I am so guilty of this. And with great fervency and earnestness, I will petition heaven for my needs and I'll share it with my friends and I'll tell the world, like, we need this answer. But time and time again, I will have gotten my answer and I have almost already moved on to the next thing and the next request. But I have been trying the last few years, especially with some of my small prayer groups. I have purposed to share the answers to prayer as quickly as possible. It's interesting, though. I have come to realize that sometimes Satan tries to fool me into thinking that my friends, these prayer groups, only care when I have a prayer need and request. And now my former prayer request just sounds foolish because, look, it turned out okay. Or, you know, maybe they only want to be there when things are hard and not when things are good. But here's the deal. The truth of it is that what I just said is a lie from Satan. But what the truth is when I don't share answers to prayer and the thanksgiving that I have and the praise that I have, I rob my friends of a faith-building moment. And I steal from them a practice of worship that they don't want to miss. Now, I know how blessed I am when others share the acts of God and answers to prayer to their concerns. My faith truly grows. It's expanded in response to their praise and their thanksgiving, and I can join them. Now, these four keys, they are so simple, right? They're simple, but powerful. Key number one was, in everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Key number two, makes up your worship style. Yep, a little Enneagram practices in there, not just to celebrate what you are, but also to grow in what you can include in your life and what you can example to your kiddos. Key number three is just turn it on. Yep, just turn on that praise worship and kick Satan's lies to the curb. And key number four is to tell others. Expand your worship and thanksgiving by inviting others into the process. I promise that these simple steps, especially key number one, is going to get you well on your way to establishing a critical pillar of wholehearted rhythms that will sustain you throughout the days ahead, no matter what you face. And friend, if a wholehearted rhythm of worship is for me, it's also for you. And once I started making the rhythm of worship simple, with or without music, just a written word of thanks, it became an essential part of my day. It's something I wasn't going to miss. I also began to create a playlist on my favorite app, which happens to be Amazon Music. It's the first thing I turn on in the kitchen Alexa in the morning for my kids' sake and mine. And I also make sure I turn on some worship music when I'm driving to specific locations in my weekly rhythm. And even though we're not driving as much these days, when I get in the car, I try to make sure that's part of my rhythm. And when I do those things, worship becomes something I engage with on the regular. And listen, I don't do this because I am some spiritual giant. Rather, it's the opposite. Let me be clear. I make worship my wholehearted rhythm because I cannot do life without daily worship. I sure hope this episode was encouraging to you. And if it was, I'd love it if you'd share it with a friend or two. And if you happen to post it in your Instagram stories or something like that, tag Simply Wholehearted so I can give you a proper thank you. Now, next week on the podcast, it'll be the final episode of the 3 Wholehearted Rhythm Pillars series. So until then, continue to pursue perspective, purpose, and plans for a simply wholehearted life.